I'm tired, I'm worn, my heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail, my soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank all of you for tuning in today to hear God's Word. I hope all of you have had a good week. Today's message is called The Maze. M-A-Z-E, The Maze. Before we get started on the message, let's take a moment to bow our heads and say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for waking each of us up today. Thank you for gathering each of us here at this appointed time to worship, honor, and praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything we have and who we are. Thank you for your love, your discipline, and guidance. Father, we love you. And through all the hills and the valleys, we know that you are right beside us, always helping to guide us through this maze that we call life. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel, and may the words that come from my mouth be exactly what you would want me to say, and not of my own understanding. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining me in this moment of prayer. Some things have happened this week, and it has made me stop and reflect on some things. As I was getting ready to prep for today's message, I asked God, as I always do every week, what do you want your children to hear today? Oftentimes, I believe that He gives me a message that is also meant for my own ears, a message that not only speaks to all of you, but myself. Sometimes I've been struggling with something on a particular week, and He'll give me a message that not only benefits all of you, but has some special message in there for me as well. And this is one of those weeks. How many of you love walking through mazes? Probably some of the most common are in October, when you can experience corn stalk mazes and hay bale mazes. They are a lot of fun. But depending on the size of the maze and the level of the difficulty of the maze, it can be a little challenging sometimes. But you know that you will find your way out at some point, and so there's no fear in it. If that is not your thing, like physically going out and going through the mazes, then how many of you like a good puzzle, a good maze in a book? I like those too. Today's message is going to be about the maze, as it refers to our life. Think about our lives for a moment. It truly is like a huge maze. We are all on this journey our whole lives. We start out at a given place, and life has all kinds of twists and turns, hills and valleys. The direction is often unclear. We zig and we zag. We get confused, we have doubts, we hope we're going in the right direction, and the goal is to find our way to the finish line. And for believers, the goal is to not only find and reach the finish line, but that to also, as we pass from this earth, spend the rest of our lives eternally with our Heavenly Father in heaven. The problem is that in between that start and finish line, life gets complicated, oftentimes messy. The devil lurks around seeking to devour those that he can veer off the righteous path. In our sinful nature, friends, there are many distractions in this world. It is all too easy to be tempted by the devil to do things that we know in our mind is probably not the right thing to do. The devil whispers in our ear things that justify our choices and our actions. We fall to his temptation. We get in a hurry. We try to rush God's perfect timing. We want something now. We don't want to have to wait. We want that instant gratification. And so we find ourselves veering off the righteous path and trying to do things with our own understanding, and we fail, and we wonder why. The message theme today is that our Heavenly Father loves us and wants to show us the right path for our lives. I was reading my daily devotional a few days back, and something I read really resonated in my mind. And so I'm going to borrow bits and pieces of that devotional and share it with you. Today's key verse is found in Psalm 32:8. The Lord says, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." So friends, I want you to picture this. As I share this little story with you, I want you to picture this in your own mind and how it relates to your life. So, your family decides to take a trip. Once you arrive at your destination, you decide to do some sightseeing, shopping, and find a restaurant to sit down in and eat something with your family. But on one of those stops, your children find a sign that boasts a 5,400 square foot labyrinth of wooden passageways constructed in this huge, elaborate, life-size maze. Can you picture this, folks? Well, this has really caught the attention of your children, and they really want to go through this maze. They want to experience it for themselves. And so they ask permission to get in line and to experience this maze for themselves. The rules that they find are that you have to find the letters M-A-Z-E before they exit the maze. The attendant at the start gate gives each of them a ticket, and accepting the challenge, both brother and sister take off through the maze. Nearby was a scenic overlook of the maze, so that the two parents decided to take the wooden staircase up to the top of the outlook to look below to watch the progress of their children as they meandered through the maze. When they reached the landing, they were taken back by the view below. It was completely unhindered. A layout of this maze laid before them. The landing was crowded with so many other parents doing the same thing, observing their children. Many were shouting down below to their children, giving them help with directions on how to find the exit to the maze. But the couple's children weren't making much progress through this maze. But from where the parents were standing, so high above, the maze was crystal clear. The other parents were shouting to their children from above, "Turn left, turn right, enter here, not there." But this couple's children yelled back at them and said that they wanted to solve this puzzle on their own, at their own pace. Don't give them any help or direction. And so the two parents watched patiently from above as the two children zigged and zagged their way through the wooden trails, wrong turns, dead ends. But finally, the two children found their way out without any instruction from their parents. When the children made it through and were reunited with their parents, they told their parents that it was harder than they thought. But the smiles on their faces showed that they had a great time and they felt accomplished for having done it on their own. So the parents told the children, "Come with us," as they took their hands and led them up this 30-foot wooden staircase to the landing in which they had been standing, watching their children. Both children, their eyes grew big, and they were amazed, and all were in awe of this incredible view, of how clear, from their vantage point, how clear that maze was, and yet how confused their children had been while they were in that maze trying to find their way out. Friends, I want you to think about that for a moment. Did you get a clear visual of what I said? Can you imagine that God must have a picture that's quite similar to this? While looking down at each one of our progress through our life, His perspective of our life is vast and perfect, while ours is inaccurate and limited. God knows everything. You can't hide anything from God. He is all-knowing. He is not confused by all the dead ends in our life. He is not confused by the blind alleys or the patterns that we continue to repeat over and over again in our lives. He's not confused by the wrong turns. He is all-knowing. He is never frustrated or lost. And that is because His ways are higher. And He sees the whole picture. His view is accurate. From the beginning of our lives to the very end, what's known as the dash between life and death, physical life and death. Nothing is hidden from His sight. The Bible is our instruction manual. God wants to lead us. But if we don't have a saving knowledge of Him, if we don't listen and obey His direction, He isn't going to force us to do this or that. We all have free will. Ultimately, the decision is ours to make. When I think of the scenario of the family that I just mentioned, I am reminded of these two verses in the Bible. And there's a lot more, but these two in particular stand out in my mind. The first one is from Joshua 5:6. "For the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that He would not let them see the land which the Lord had sworn to their families to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey." And the other verse, quite similar but worded a little bit different, is found in Numbers 32:13. "So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and He made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years, until the entire generation of those who had done evil in the sight of the Lord was destroyed." Both of these verses talk about the consequences of disobeying the Lord. They talk about death by punishment for disobedience, exclusion, being homeless, the consequences of our choices that can affect our entire family for generations to come. Friends, our choices do not only affect us, but it affects everyone in our lives. It's a domino effect. Our choices are not to be taken lightly. We are not our own. We are God's children. These verses also talk about waiting on God's perfect timing and not resisting resisting the temptation to do things our own way and on our own understanding. But though they wandered the wilderness for 40 years, their clothes did not wear out, their feet did not swell nor blister, they were not hungry. Now friends, how can you explain that? The only way to explain this is to understand it is as a God-given miracle. They were given the provision of food. And this was intended to not only care for them, but it was intended as a lesson also. So that they wouldn't starve, but yet another lesson to be learned from this. And that was to teach the Israelites to continually and daily depend on God. But food wasn't the only miracle. God made their clothes have great durability and prevented their feet from blistering and swelling due to the rough terrain by making sure that their footwear was not destroyed. Even in the Israelites' disobedience, God was with them, keeping them safe. When you reflect back on your own life, haven't we all felt like we have wandered that wilderness ourselves for 40 years? Maybe more than once. You feel like you just keep circling, circling, circling. You're not getting anywhere. You're repeating the same things, the same patterns in your life over and over and not getting anywhere. You feel as if you've been trudging along forever on this certain path. Confused, clearly without direction, stumbling. Things that should not take that long to work out seems to take a lifetime. Friends, it's not a fun place to be. But we put ourselves in some of these situations by the choices we make. It's our sin and our disobedience to God, our unwillingness to listen to direction and to wait patiently on His perfect timing that oftentimes gets us into these giant messes. For some of these things, we only have ourselves to blame for what happens. Not all things, but definitely a lot of things. And as I said before, our choices can make life difficult for our families for generations to come. It's a huge domino effect. One block tumbles, and the ones after that tumble right along with the first. So while you're thinking about all that and reflecting upon your own lives, I'm going to go ahead and take a break for a moment. And I hope you will all stay tuned in for the second half of today's message.
You alone have made a way for us in your life.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning
back, Hope Show listeners. I'm happy that God has gathered all of us here today, and thank you for staying tuned in. I forgot to mention earlier, but I do want to share this with all of you. It was brought to Shaziz and I's attention a week or two back that during some of our shows that there were inappropriate messages being advertised on our site while we were broadcasting. Friends, if anything ever pops up on our site that is not of God, that has anything to do with Satan or the enemy or whatever, please know that we are not the ones putting that on the site, that we are being hacked. We would never put these things on our sites. It goes against everything that we believe in. And so, if any one of you in the listening audience have been witness to what I'm talking about, I am so sorry that you saw what you did. It was not put there by us. And so, from here forward, folks, I'm just putting out a disclaimer, okay? That if anything that goes against God's word or the beliefs, if anything on there that looks satanic ever, it's not us. We have been hacked. So, by someone who obviously thinks it's funny to put something inappropriate on our site when we're talking about things that contradict that. So, anyway, we're getting to the bottom of it. We're making changes to the site to make it more secure so that these things do not happen in the future. Again, we are sincerely apologetic for this content, okay? So, let's get back to today's message. If you are just tuning in, today's message is called The Maze. The message theme is that our Heavenly Father loves us and wants to show us the right path for our lives. The key verse is found in Psalm 32:8. The Lord says, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." This maze refers to our lives. Each of us are on our own life journey. Our life seems like a huge maze, sometimes confusing, sometimes without clear direction, many wrong turns and dead ends along the way. But the goal is to exit the maze and spend eternity with our Father in heaven. The direction of our lives will be made so much easier if we listen to God and obey His commandments. If we seek His direction for our life and we follow it. If not, we talked about walking around in the wilderness for 40 years. Dazed, confused, excluded, feeling spiritually homeless. Everything you do is a daily grind. And I assure you, you will take no joy living like this. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the Bible tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." These verses contain one of the greatest promises in the Bible. God promises to make our path straight. He will keep us on track. It's also a great promise for another reason. Not only will He straighten our path and keep us on track, but the promise will also extend to other things in our lives. Our education path, our career path, our family path, our financial path, our retirement path, everything. Every path in our life and the lives of our family. If we acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior, if we live our lives for Him, seek Him out for everything and obey Him. Friends, no matter what path you are on, God promises to direct them all. That's amazing. That's incredible after you know, all the sin in our lives. After all the wrong turns we've made, all the poor choices we've made. All we have to do is turn around, say the sinner's prayer, mean it with all of our heart and soul. It's not going to work if you don't mean it. Accept him into our heart as our Lord and Savior, admitting that we need him and that we are going to follow him, and ask his forgiveness, receive it, accept it. No turning back. If we do these things, fully trusting in God for everything, he will direct our every path, not one or two, but every. All. This is conditional on us doing certain things, though. But with all those things, do it with all of our heart. The first thing, as I mentioned in the verse that I just read, the first thing that you must do is trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not bits and pieces, but with all of your heart. And secondly, as I read in the verse, lean not on your own understanding, but in faith, fully trusting in God and in his perfect timing. Don't try to speed things up and do things your way to get what you want faster. Lean on God. Let him lead. Give every decision and situation over to him. And thirdly, as I also mentioned in this verse that I last spoke, acknowledge him in all of your ways. Thank him. Pray to him. Seek his guidance and his forgiveness. And listen and worship and praise him and obey him. Let your light shine in such a way that when anyone else looks at you, watches you, or listens to you, that there is no doubt that you are a child of God and that you are living your life for God, that you are his and he is yours. Be in his word, studying it, applying it. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. So, for those of you who have children, for those of you that your children are adults, that are currently not on the right path, you know this. When they do something, it affects us as parents, right? Sometimes the choices they make take our breath away, and not in a good sense. Take our breath away as in heartbreak. Sometimes we spend many hours, all of us women out there, we understand this. And men too. Crying is just not for women. Crying is for men too. And I don't care who tells you different. God made tears in men and women. And whatever or however you have been raised, if you feel like as a man you can't shed a tear, you're wrong. It doesn't make you any less of a man. God made those tears, and here tears are for healing. In fact, it is my belief that it makes you more of a man, because you're in touch with that emotional side of yourself that God created. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, some of us, a lot of us, we spend many hours crying and praying over our children's lives. Sometimes we question ourselves, why is this happening? Did I do something? Or did I not do enough? How could this have been prevented? It's like we are on that landing that I talked about earlier. We see the path that they are taking. We know it is not good for them, but they are deaf to our advice and our guidance. And they continue to make poor choices, wrong turns. They keep banging their heads, figuratively speaking, on the same brick walls, expecting different results, but the results are always the same, just played out in different ways. We've been there. We've been there ourselves. It's not just our children. If we're honest with ourselves, we've all been there. We've all felt that. We have all done the same exact thing to God. We put Him through that same sorrow when we make bad choices. When He sees us not listening, not obeying. And friends, I can picture God up there in heaven looking down, shouting, "Take the left! Take the right! Turn here! Turn there! Oh, no, 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 not that way!" Putting His hand on His forehead, shaking His head, letting out this sound, "Ugh!" And thinking, what is it going to take to make them listen? How do you think our Heavenly Father, from His landing, His higher perspective, all-knowing, all-seeing, thinks when He sees us making poor choices and taking wrong paths? Friends, we have no control over what our children do when they become adults and they have families of their own. As parents, as earthly parents, we can advise them, but they have that same free will that we have. And if they don't want to listen, then there is absolutely nothing we can do about it but pray to God over their lives and just watch everything play out, good or bad. And that's really, really, really hard to do. You feel like physically taking them to the landing from high above, taking them by the shoulders and guiding their face and shoulders front facing forward and say, "Look, look at what you're doing. Look at the path you're taking. Now, will you listen for once?" But we can't do that. It's not our choice to make. Just as God won't do that to us because He gave us all free will too. And we have to make our choices for ourselves. And if they're not good choices and they turn out to have bad consequences, it's a lesson learned the hard way. But it's a character builder. It makes us stronger and hopefully wiser for the next time that we're in a decision-making situation and we have to make those choices for ourselves. Friends, God has no grandchildren. We are all God's children. From infant to elderly, young to old. He loves us all so much. And He wants the very best for each and every one of us. And He knows. He is our Creator. He put the earth into existence. He created animals. He created trees. He created life itself. He created everything on this earth that we see with such detail. He knows our birth. He knows our expiration day. Friends, He knows what is best for us because He created us. He loves us. But are we willing to listen and obey? Are we going to let our pride, our ego, our arrogance stand before and in between us and God? Think about that. Are we ready? Have we been walking around in that wilderness for so long? Are we so sick and tired of that life? Do we want clarity? Do we want something good to come of our life? Do we want God in our lives? Are we ready to accept Him into our hearts as our Lord and Savior and let Him lead us on the right path for our lives? Jesus speaks in John 14, 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Jesus is speaking in this verse, okay? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my house, in my Father's house, are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. I will come back to take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. Friends, if God has a place in heaven reserved for each of us who trust in Him, do you also think that He just might have all these other good blessings in store for us too? Career, a spouse, family. Friends, God looks at our heart. When He finds those that trust in Him, He directs that person in the path that he or she should go. But it all starts with trust. Friends, I'm going to be transparent on my life for a minute. I used to think I had to have complete control over my life. Boy, how foolish that is now, you know. How foolish I know I was. But I must have had a pretty large ego. Because I thought I had complete control over my life. Things happened in my life a very, 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 very long time ago that made me have some serious trust issues for many years of my life. And all those years ago when things happened, I felt helpless and fearful. And I grew up with an attitude that I was going to take charge of my life, and no one was going to have any control over me again. And I lived many, many, many years with that attitude. I had a huge chip on my shoulders. Huge. this was way before Shaziz and I ever met, before he came into my life. But friends, he was God sent. 120% God sent. I believe that when he came into my life, I was entertaining one of God's angels. Still am. Because he had the patience of a saint, my friends. Whew. If I had been in his shoes, I'd been like, whoa, back up. There's no hope for this one. I'm walking away and cutting my losses. But God sent this wonderful man into my life that had the patience of a saint, and slowly, slowly, many years later, he finally broke down all those walls of hurt baggage. I healed and praised God, giving God all the glory and the honor. I am who I am today. I'm happy. I love. I have trust in my heart. I have direction and purpose. Because of God's love first, I now love myself and I love other people and I love helping other people. But God's love was first. He led me out of the wilderness. But I had to let go of the reins that I had tried so hard to hold on to so tightly and trust God. And I'm here to tell you, trust with me, really was not in my vocabulary to trust other people. But in order for things to change in my life for the better, I had to trust God wholly and completely and realize just how foolish I was in thinking that I really had any control over anything. Yes, you know, there's things that we all have a say in, like, you know, what are we going to wear today? What meals are we going to cook? You know, for the guys out there, what motorcycle we're going to drive, or what car we're going to take to work today, or, you know, things like that. What my house is going to look like, how I will respond to God's calling for my life, how I will respond to certain triggers in my life, things like that. But I don't have control whether I wake up tomorrow. I don't have control over a lot of aspects in my life. God does. And when we all realize that and trust and believe that to be true, but also that God has each one of us in the palm of his hand and he's never going to drop us, then we can really start living the beautiful life that God purposed for each of us. It takes the weight and the stress off of our shoulders, knowing that we don't have to worry about our situation or the situation in our children's lives or someone else that we're close to. God has it under control. Whatever that situation is, He's working it out before it ever even happens, friends. You know, and that's really comforting to me. You know, when I'm going through something, and I'm like, oh, God, when are you going to start working on this? When am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through this? And I stop and think, oh, but God, you're already working on this. I'm already partway through this process to the better stuff. Because you knew it was going to happen before it happened, meaning God. And so God's already been working on it before it even happened. And so, hey, I'm partway through that already, and I'm on my way to something good happening. Because God first loved, and I'm following God. And so that helps me, knowing that even before it happens, He's working it all out for my good and for your good. We need to learn to get out of the way and let God lead us. If our ego gets too big and we believe that we can do all things by ourselves, try to go through that maze blindly and on our own understanding. Friends, I'm telling you right now, you are setting yourself up for failure before the attendant says, ready, set, go. But friends, look up. Keep your eyes focused on above. Because God is smiling down upon us. God is our encourager, our rock, our healer, our promise keeper, way maker, and miracle worker. Are you trusting in Him? There is no halfway. You either are all in or you're all out. God is a jealous God. And He wants all of us. Every single tiny particle of us. So, what does a heart that trusts in God look like? So, in Luke 1:38, the Bible says, and not in these exact words, but paraphrasing, a heart that trusts in God is a surrendered heart. When you get married, you surrender your heart to the vows you make with your spouse. You trust that your spouse will keep those same vows that they made to you. You trust God when you surrender all your heart to Him and to His promises that He made to you. Some of you may know this song. The name of the song is called I Surrender. And it goes like this. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. Friends, we have an enemy known as the devil that doesn't want us to trust in God and tries at every turn to derail us from having that relationship with God. He tries to put doubts in our mind. He lies to us. He tries to put doubts in our heart about God's real intentions. The devil lies to us by offering us a better plan than what God offers us. Do not fall for the enemy's lies. He does not have your best interest in mind. He doesn't even like us. We are merely a pawn in the battle, between darkness and light. It's a war between God and the devil. But the devil doesn't even realize that the fight has already been won. God wins. When the great falling out came, when Satan was kicked out of heaven and sent to earth, ever since then, Satan has been trying to win souls over to his side. But he doesn't really care what happens to us, no matter how sweet it sounds, how caring he sounds. He doesn't really care for any of us. He He's just trying to win souls away from God. But moving right along, I'm running out of time. I already have. I'm already over the hour. The second conditional thing is, as I said before, God directs the path of those who lean not upon their own understanding. I believe all of that. I believe God without a shadow of a doubt. He wouldn't say something if he didn't mean it. God's understanding and our own do not match. His understanding often contradicts our own understanding. In Proverbs 16:25, the Bible says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end leads to death." It can seem completely right to us, as flawed and sinful as we are, but be totally wrong by God's understanding. And the last conditional thing that we've also already touched base on, acknowledge Him in all your ways. If you do these three conditional commandments, you will free God up to direct your path. God's ways are much better than the enemy, even our own way. God is so good, great, all the time. Don't waste another moment on the wrong path. Trials, tribulations, hills and valleys, doubt, confusion, dead ends, and wrong ways. Nothing is too big for God to handle. You just have to trust in Him. Have faith that what you pray for will happen. And be willing to do whatever it takes to get back on and stay on the right path. Friends, I'm going to close up in two prayers today. The first one is the sinner's prayer for those of you who God has laid it upon their heart today to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, fully surrendering your life over to Him. And the other will close out today's message. If you are feeling led by God right now to follow Him, then I encourage you, please say this prayer with me. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I want to turn away from my sinful life to the life You have planned for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Make me new. I know Your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me. I believe in my heart that You raised Him from the dead. At this very moment, I accept, confess, and proclaim Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, to live in my heart from this day forward. Thank You, Jesus, for Your grace that has saved me from my sins and has given me eternal life. Please send Your Holy Spirit to guide me and help me to do Your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And now for all of us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for today's message. I pray that those listening, their hearts and minds were softened to receive the message that You personally meant for each of them. Father, we trust in Your wisdom. You know best. Help us to get out of Your way and to let You lead us in everything You do for us. It is an honor and a privilege to obey You. We love You in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Friends, God bless each and every one of you. May the Lord watch over and protect you and your family and your loved ones. Till next Saturday, same time, same place. Godspeed.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Trust in you alone, higher than where you go.